All right, everybody, welcome back to From the Arsenal. If you're hearing this and you've been listening to our other episodes, this is the fourth episode in 2 weeks. We're kicking butt over here because we have lots of spoilers to talk about. Our last episode, we went over Bolton and Chanyeol. The dopest MCs in Wraith. Today, we're going to talk mostly about Prism. She was spoiled just a day or two before we did that episode, so we didn't want to use all our ammo in one go. So we saved her to talk about today. We've got a good number of her cards revealed. We're also going to talk a little bit about mentors, since those are a new thing that were sprung on us. But this week, we have myself, we have Mike, we have Todd, we have Addison, and we have Minion. So we got a full crew. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing outstanding. I hear that Venom is phenomenal.
Wrong podcast,
wrong,
Mike.
Wrong
podcast.
One? Wrong one? Well, yeah. He's still phenomenal.
Wrong podcast.
Okay.
Okay. Does Moving one on. Of the adults want to tell me how they're doing?
Do we have any adults? No. If not, I'm doing fine.
You're the most responsible.
I'm great. Doing just great.
Yeah.
Ready to talk some spoilers.
Sweet. Todd. You good? You going to make it through this one?
I'm going to make it. I'm good, man. Thank you for having me, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Always happy to have you on. All right. So how about we do this? How about we forget what just happened?
Chanyeol.
Chanyeol was another episode. But today we're going to talk about Prism, the sculptor of Arclight. Prism is a light illusionist hero. Her ability is once per turn instant, spend two. Banish a card from Prism's soul. Create a spectral shield token. A spectral shield is an illusionist aura that says if your hero would be dealt damage, instead destroy spectral shield and prevent one damage that source would deal. Let me just talk about her weapon too right now, because that kind of all ties in together. Her weapon is called the Iris of Reality. During your action phase, illusionist auras you control are weapons with four attack power and... once per turn action, spend three, attack, go again. Let's start this off in a round table because we have five people here. Minion, does Prism seem interesting to you based on what I've read to you so far?
She seems absolutely awful from what you read to me so far.
Sweet. All right. So you're not feeling spectral shields.
Well, I think the issue is when you add up all of the costs involved with what you described, you're paying a ton to swing for four and block a damage.
Right. And you have to do that every turn to make it swing for four. Addison, what do you think about Prism based on what I've read to you so far?
Based on just that, it seems that she's pretty bad.
Okay. All right. Todd.
So based on what you've read so far, pay five, swing for four sounds like ass.
And block and damage.
I'm just saying, pay five, swing for four sounds like ass.
Okay, Mike.
Or possibly block a damage.
Mike, how do you feel about this?
I feel the same way I feel when I first got into the game and everyone was like, Kano's Wizard is the worst deck.
All right, Mike, let's not go there. We're talking about this one.
I feel there's something there. And I am focusing on this class when it comes out to play.
That's based on what I just read, you're going to play her. Okay.
Based on what you just read, I'm going to play her.
I'm not going to say bad. I'm going to say interesting.
Extrapolate that idea.
I mean, she does different stuff. So that's pretty interesting.
Great. Yeah. So when we talk about cost value to attack value.
Yeah.
Five for four to you seems interesting.
There's some stuff going on there that's interesting.
Can you
to interject there, it's not even just five for four. There's the card from your soul as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that charging pulls a card from your hand.
All right.
Yeah.
Which is one of the mechanics.
Rear weapon again.
No.
Rear weapon again.
Her weapon.
Let's read it again. I'm going to point something out here.
Okay. It says
that it costs three.
During your action phase, illusionist auras you control are weapons with four attack power. Once per turn action, spend three, attack, go again.
Okay. So, is she a turn one? I'm going to punch you in the face and win the game? 1,000% no.
Mm-hmm.
But auras stay in field of play, correct?
Unless they say otherwise, yes.
Okay. So what's the deal with, I'm sitting on four auras. I got a hand of four blues. I'm going to swing for 16 and still have these auras.
But that
may have some defensive abilities.
But
on
you're
your
not.
Turn.
It's once per turn. It's once per turn, Mike. It's once per turn.
There you go.
Once per turn, swing for four, go again?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You're not swinging with the weapon four times.
Well, then that's where her attack cards come in.
So yep. Interesting to me doesn't mean good or bad. It's different.
Actually, you do get to swing with each aura because each aura gets the once per turn action.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you, Minion.
But the auras you're talking about swinging with the cards we've read so far, are Spectral Shield tokens that are not a May effect, which means you are required to use them when you would be dealt damage, which means you do not get four of them unless your opponent is doing nothing.
Yeah.
That's the one aura we've seen for this class.
We're going
based off what we've read so far.
We're extrapolating this out over
but
the court.
We already know there are no auras coming.
Mike, stop. We are going in order and based off of what we have read so far, where we're at.
Okay.
And then we will expand as we go forward.
So can we include other auras that are already
out? Not yet.
That are already out.
No.
We can't.
We haven't gotten there yet.
But they're already out.
Mike, you're ruining this podcast.
We're looking at it in isolation. We're building up to a crescendo
for
the fans.
Yeah. Exactly. You are missing the point.
Yes.
I am not missing the point.
All right. So we have bad.
No,
interesting.
I'm playing.
Oh, you're playing.
I didn't say
good.
Bad. I said I'm playing.
Mike's all in.
I'm all in on this class.
And interesting.
I'm
okay.
All in on this class.
But you're all in on Venom too, which means that you like bad things.
Again, wrong podcast.
Once again, I don't lose with Venom. Anyway.
It does say something about Mike though that is important to know is that he will adopt bad things and then try to make them work.
This is true.
I don't try to make them work. I do make them work
unless good people play against him.
There's one other mechanic I want to address before we start getting into cards, because this is going to be on a lot of them, and that is Phantasm. Essentially, what Phantasm says is if a card is defended by a non-illusionist attack action card with six or more attack power, destroy the attack action card and close the combat chain. So that's going to be on most of these. So I wanted to get that out first so we don't have to rehash it every time we talk about a card here. Which means that her attacks can be blocked with an attack action of six or more, and they fizzle. So that's important to know as we talk about some of these cards.
Yes. They don't only fizzle. They close the combat chain and end the turn.
Correct. So if you don't have any more action points, that's it. You're done.
Exactly.
They don't end the turn. They end your action chaining. You have to write an additional source for real action points, which is a distinguished from the go again action points.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's the point that I was trying to make with it is that it closes your one action a turn that you were given via the game mechanics. Unless you have something else that gains you action points, your turn is over.
Right. So with that knowledge in head, I want to do the same thing that we did with Chanye and Bolton. And then that is go through and have everybody highlight a card that they think is impactful that they want to talk about that will shed some more light on this class. And hopefully by the end, we can come to a consensus on whether or not it feels good or bad. The caveat is that one card cannot be Herald Triumph because Mike has that pulled up. And if we make him search for another card, it's going to derail the entire podcast.
It already has.
So, Minion, how about you pick a card that's not Herald of Triumph and start us off on a good foot?
Sure. I'll go ahead and reveal one of her her additional auras, which is Merciful Retribution. It's yellow. I think all of her auras are her light illusionist auras are yellow. It's a light illusionist instant aura. It costs four. Whenever an aura or attack action card you control is destroyed, deal one arcane damage to target hero. If it's a non-token light card, put it into your hero's soul. And it has the Spectra ability. It's Spectra is kind of like the other half of Phantasm, which is Merciful Retribution can be attacked. When Merciful Retribution becomes the target of an attack, destroy it and close the combat chain. The attack does not resolve.
Right.
Now here's an interesting conversation point. We've seen this with the token demon things they made. Can you defend these?
It says when it becomes the target of the attack, correct?
Right.
So once it becomes the target, the attack it's destroyed and the attack ends. It's okay. Not resolved.
Exactly. That's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah. So this doesn't even get to a defend point.
Right. This is just if they swing at it, it's destroyed. But like the Phantasm, it kind of closes the combat chain abnormally so that their attack, if it had it, does not get go again.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends their turn if they try to pop your aura.
So basically play Brute, run Scab Skins, and roll sixes.
Or just be a ninja and Kodachi at it. At the end of everything else that you're doing.
Yeah, maybe.
And as we talk about the attack cards more, that's going to become important. Like a class like Ninja, where they don't have a lot of attacks that are six or more. So they're going to have a hard time dealing with the attacks that Prism is putting out, but they get to smack auras for almost no penalty.
But aside from the aura mechanics, which are somewhat interesting, the reason I highlighted this one is because it makes your spectral shields much more valuable, because now they're blocking one and dealing an arcane damage if they're open. And when your Phantasm cards get destroyed by being blocked by an attack with six power, you're also dealing an arcane damage.
Mm-hmm. So there's some sneaky damage that you can potentially add in there.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
Addison, do you have a card that you want to highlight?
Yeah. I mean, I can just pick whatever one, right? As long as it's not the one that Mike has.
Correct.
I really like this this Majestic called Herald of Erudition. It is a two cost yellow card, 5 power, 3 block, dominate. If Herald of Erudition hits, put it into your hero's soul and draw 2 cards. It has the Phantasm keyword on it.
So again, another big attack can potentially fizzle, but has a lot of other stuff to it. And I'm noticing that she has a lot of opportunities to add cards to her soul that don't involve charging, which was an important mechanic for Bolton, which, you know, pulled a card out of his hand every time he charged. She gets to do it as a reaction to something and puts the card that was used into her soul, so she gets to do it with a little less penalty.
That's what sounds interesting with her.
Yeah, I think this card, I don't want to toot another card on without, like, you know, permission or anything, but, like, this card combined with Phantasmify, which is another card, it looks really good to me.
What's Phantasmify?
It is a rare. It's a one cost. Well, it's a cycle, but the red one is one cost red. The next attack action card you play this turn is illusionist in addition to its other class types and gains +5 and Phantasm. It doesn't really matter as far as like all those keywords go, but it just makes your dominate attack so much better. And it makes it so you're getting utility out of this card, which I think is really strong.
Todd, do you have a card that you want to highlight?
So I'm always keen on common cards that have some massive impact in the game. And we've gone over, like in the last episode, we talked about what we thought the average cost curve was. 2 for 6 seems really solid.
Mm-hmm.
So this card, Wartune Herald, that costs 1 to play and deals 7 damage with a 3 attack, is above curve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a common.
3 defense, not 3 attack.
All right, 7 attack, 3 defense,
right, right,
for 1 cost. It also has the text, if Wartune Herald hits, put it into your hero's soul. It also has a Phantasm keyword.
Mm-hmm.
But 1 for 7 on damage side is above curve.
Right.
And that's really impressive on a common to me.
Yeah.
I would say that one of the themes for Prism is that all of her attack action cards for both the Illusionist class and the Light Illusionist class are under-costed for the damage they're doing.
They are above curve.
Because they have a drawback. They have the Phantasm drawback. But that's not even a drawback in probably you know, we've got what, 11 classes now, 12 classes. It's not a drawback against everyone who's not Brute and a couple of others.
Mm-hmm.
Brute and Guardian are probably the ones that are least worried about this.
So even yeah. Guardian gets put into a little bit of a rough spot because he really wants to play those giant attacks.
Yeah, what? He doesn't have a lot of them to just throw out as blocks.
Well, not really. His blues are sixes. Yeah. I mean, you can just use a blue.
Yeah, yeah. And that, Addison and myself, I agree, Addison. I think he's fine with this. Like, he's like, oh, this blue is fine. I'll swing with my Amethos.
The flip side is that those classes are going to have a much harder time also dealing with the auras that you're putting out because they may not want to waste a turn with one of their big attacks trying to go at an aura. And they often don't swing twice, except for certain builds.
Yeah, that's a trade-off, right? They might be able to make all your attacks fizzle, but the auras are going to sit out there probably permanently.
But it's going to be harder to charge your soul or get cards in your soul when every turn they're shut off.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a give and take into these classes. So while I might be able to make your attack fizzle, I also have the ability to keep your soul from charging, which keeps your other cards offline.
Mm-hmm.
So now into other classes, I think this is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
I really like some of these things, and I actually really like the idea of the paper, rock, scissors kind of meta that's expanding out and being developed. And then from there you go to player skill, right? Like, right. These are really interesting classes for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go next, Mike. I'm going to leave you for last.
Sounds about right.
Since we already talked about the card.
Well, because we've talked about a couple cards in order that were attack action. So I want to bring it back to another aura. This one is Ode to Wrath. It's a yellow pitch for 4. Again, like Minnie said, the theme with the auras is that they seem to cost a lot, but there's a potential that they're out there permanently. Ode to Wrath says, whenever a source you control deals damage to an opposing hero, they lose 1 life. Illusionist attack action cards you control have go again. This also has Spectra, where if it's destroyed, it closes the combat chain. That seems crazy powerful to me. Gives you all the attack action cards have go again. Like, you can't just let that sit out there.
Is that a common rare majestic?
It is a rare.
That is...
And it also says whenever a source you control deals damage to an opposing hero, they lose a life, which to me says that those little 1 arcane damage pings that are coming off the aura that Minion described are also causing them to lose an additional life. And that sounds right to me. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, unless they're blocked, right? If they use arcane barrier because it's arcane from the other one, that source wouldn't have dealt damage, so they do not lose the additional life.
Right. But it makes all those pings a little more dangerous, right? Because now you're facing 2 instead of 1 every time.
Right. It's going to be starting to force them to block instead of just being like, yeah, I'll just take the 1. Now they've got to be like, do I take the 2 or do I lose a card?
Well, and the other thing to keep track of that is there's a loss of life from this aura. There's the attack damage that's coming through. And then there's a ping for 1 from arcane damage. There's 3 sources of damage you have to deal with from 1 attack with that combination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also assume it would, just to cut you off there, I also assume that it would stack if you had 2 of the other auras out. You would have 2 sources of arcane, and then this would trigger twice. So they start multiplying on each other as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask one question, and you know, I might be stupid for asking this question. Chris, that card that was spoiled, what color is it?
Yellow.
What rarity is it?
It's a rare.
Besides, it's an aura, correct?
Yes.
Besides items, are there any other rares that we know of that aren't multicolored? Items being the potions and like the energy potion, time stamp potion.
They're rares,
but they're only 1 color. Mm-hmm. This is a rare. It's an aura that showed us the yellow. Is there a red version? Is there a blue version of this aura?
I would guess probably not. I assume they're treating these like majestics.
That's
from
other
sides.
I would say as well.
Yeah, just 1.
Because I wasn't. I mean, this is my first time that I've done spoils with LSS.
We don't know. We honestly don't know.
Actually, we do know because you can look at the card numbers. They're like 12 and 13, and they're adjacent. So there's no room for a blue at the very least.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Well, Minion's big brained over there.
Minion doing math.
So can we go to my card now?
Hold on.
Okay. Because I have the same question for my card.
Hold on. Mike, would you like to discuss your card now?
Sure. Thank you, thank you, Chris. Herald of Triumph. It is a rare. Now, Minion, this one that they spoiled is a red rare. By the card number, do you, from your knowledge, as you know, is there going to be a yellow or blue version of this card?
So I don't actually know how to look this one up. I assume this one has yellows and blues.
I assume the attack actions probably will. Auras are kind of special case, but
it just happened that those other ones were adjacent to each other, so I could check it real quick. I don't know what's adjacent to this in the
card number. Gotcha. Yeah. So Herald of Triumph is a red pitch, cost 2, swings for 7, blocks for 3. It says attack action cards have -1 attack while defending Herald of Triumph. This goes along with the Phantasm rule that if you block it with a 6 or more non-illusionist cards with a 6 or more attack, then it closes the combat chain. And it also says if Herald of Triumph hits, put it into your hero's soul. The reason I like this card is that you all already discussed it. The classes that maybe may not struggle against illusionist are Bravo and Brute, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's because they're blue, swing for 6 most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is saying when you swing with this card, you have to actually block with your bigger card. Like, you can't block with your 6 attack blue now to shut this card down.
Block with my 7 yellow.
But that is still one card. You know, that's less damage. Just you're swinging back. You know what I'm saying? So you're swinging with a card that swings for 7, costs 2. So right now we're saying that's above the curve already because we're saying 2 for 6 is pretty good. So 2 for 7.
Two for seven is all right. 1 for 7 is better, my card.
The thing, too. It specifically says non-illusionist attack action. So illusion cards that block for 6 or more or attack for 6 or more won't make it fizzle.
No, I get that.
But the part that says attack action cards, period, have -1 attack when defending with Herald against this card.
Yeah.
So classes like Mechanologist are going to struggle because their biggest attack is what, a 6, correct? Yeah. You know, then now it's a 5, period.
Most classes.
The only classes that are going to have base attack action cards in their deck that can block this and shut it down are going to be only Bravo and Brute, which means, Guardian and Brute. And then on top of that, they're going to have to pitch not their low attacks, but their bigger attacks to be able to shut this card down.
Sure.
So that's why I like this card. I think it's going to, you know, it gives the deck a little bit of oomph, and it helps it answer against those Bravos and those Guardians and Brute matchups.
And that one is a rare.
That one is a rare, you know. So obviously if it's a yellow version, it's going to be a 6 attack, and if it's a blue version, it's going to be a 5 attack. Not as devastating.
It still is because the idea that you have to actually block it.
True. With a 7 or bigger.
Right.
With a 7 or bigger, like, to shut it down. Right.
Like that is still relevant. The interesting thing about that mechanic is it is relevant across all attack values. Whether it's 2, 3, 4, or 4, 5, 6, or 6, 7, 8. It doesn't matter what the 3-point totals is.
Mm-hmm.
That is still relevant across the board,
which
makes it impactful across all games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a one card that no matter what, you're going to see a 3 of and any version of Illusionist.
Yeah, I also just want to point out that one of the big cards that's in everyone's deck at 6 attack is Command and Conquer. And right. I don't know if they wanted to block with it anyway, but it's like the 6 attack everyone has that just won't work.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, Warrior runs it. Ninja Warrior runs it. It just shuts it down. I'm going to swing with this.
I don't know that it necessarily shuts it down. It just makes it actually a much easier call where you go, all right, well, he's going to get go again here, so I don't block with Command and Conquer because it's going to get a -1.
Mm-hmm. True.
Like, it just makes it an easier call in those matchups. Right. I actually like it better on cards that don't nerf it than that do nerf it, like this, because it's more impactful when they have to make the choice to actually use that 6 attack than be able to say, oh, well, this 6 attack is only worth 5. It doesn't cancel it anyway. Why the fuck do I care?
Mm-hmm.
So I actually like it better on regular cards than that.
So you don't like you don't.
I don't like that card as much as you do.
Okay, I can see why. The reason I like this card is because this I feel illusionist may
That's always going to trigger for the most part.
I know, I got you. But from what I see, against what has been shown to us so far, if illusionist has any problem with any particular class, it's Guardian and Brute, and this helps against that matchup.
Sure,
it's either going to hit them, or it's going to hit them and go into her soul, or it's going to cause them to make a decision or whether or not to block with their bigger attacks.
So I bet Addison's question would probably be the same as mine here. And do you see that as a main board card? Like, is that in your main deck, or is that a sideboard card? Because I don't feel like that's as good a value as the 1-for-7.
I agree. But as of now, with the cards that we've seen, this is the main board card. Just from what the cards we've seen. Main reason why I say that, because late game, when it's late game and you want to be able to get that go again and you're playing against a non-Brute or a Guardian deck, this card can be disgusting in late game.
Sure, but do you run two of those late, so you have one late game, or do you run a full suite like you would have the 1-for-1?
Okay, so that's a better question. Right now, guaranteed two. I run two in my deck. So I see it late game.
Addison, what do you think, man? Where are you at on that?
I don't know. I'm not crazy about the card either. I mean, I think it's a decent card. I don't think I'm scared of this card at all. Like even cards that don't block efficiently into it, I think I'll just let this card go. I think I'm probably just not blocking it. And if it's so late,
that was my point as well, right? Like you look at it and you're like, all right, well, it's not of value to block this, so I let this go and block the next part, right?
So if it's not of value to block and your opponent, the person playing the card knows that, then it's an automatically free charge of the soul.
That's fine.
You know, it's automatically put the card in my soul.
It will turn on other mechanics at exactly. that point.
So,
I get it.
So it gets to one of those things where it is going to help you be more of a consistency. It's either going to hit or not, obviously.
Yep.
But the way it's worded, like you said, people are like, well, I'm not going to use my six to block it. Then basically you're charging your soul.
Yeah, I can see that. And it's probably definitely situational. Yes. Right, like if they have the all of my phantasm shit gets go again and blah blah blah, and then I can attack with my weapons and they get go again and whatever else. Like, yeah, you have to prioritize where you want to block at that point.
But that's why I like the card, because if situationally it's not good to attack with it, still blocks for three.
Still blocks for three. I mean, and that is as relevant as anything else.
So that's why I like the card. Yeah. Even if it's situationally not good to attack with it, still blocks for three.
Yep.
So I want to go back and revisit the first question I asked people, which was, do you think this class is good, blah, 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 with a little more information. So right now we know that it has expensive setup cards, which are the auras, that potentially do a lot of stuff, but they all cost four. They don't have go again. That's probably your turn is putting that out there.
Or attack that into that, right?
Right. They have some attack that we know of based off of the auras. So they're probably going to be playing them, even if they maybe don't play a ton of them. They might treat it like mech equipment, right?
Right.
And then also they have a bunch of big attacks that can potentially fizzle. I think they're kind of at a weird crossroads with how they want to build, because these attacks that are big are reds.
Yeah.
But they need a lot of blues to be able to play their auras. And even that Herald of Triumph is a two cost. I mean, you, Todd, highlighted a one cost. So there's a little bit of a split on how they want to build. Like, they can't go hard aggro because they need more resources to be able to play their other stuff. With all that in mind, do you think this class is viable, Menin?
So I'm undecided. I do think that there are a couple of little tricks you can use to make it a little bit more viable. The auras cost four, which is really expensive because that costs, you know, you have to pitch at least two cards to play it, right? But if you have a tunic out, Fandahl's tunic, that could be the extra one, and then you're playing those auras for a blue pitch plus your tunic once every three rounds. So that's one way to cheat those things out. The other thing is that because all of the auras are instants, like the card, I think Addison highlighted it, the Herald of Erudition that draws two cards. If those two cards are good pitches, even though you don't have go again, you can pitch those and get an aura out that way. Also, things like Tome of Fyandal, which draws two cards, but you don't have an action, you can use those cards to pitch to play an aura out. So that's some interesting play to kind of get around some of the limitations. But I don't really see how it all comes together yet at this point.
How about you, Addison?
Yeah, I'm kind of along the same lines. This the more cards we get for this, the more of a kind of a mechy vibe I get from this class. Not that I think that it's like exactly like Mechanologist, but it does have that thing going on where it's like trying to set up, obviously, to get some engine going for the late game where your auras are kind of doing the work for you and you're going to swing with these big attacks, which I like. I mean, I think that's pretty good. The thing about this class that I think is really interesting is because of the nature of it and how it's shaping up to be really kind of anti-aggro almost in how it's built, I think it actually makes for an interesting metagame where the decks that were the aggressive decks before we are going to go into the Monarch meta are going to have to be even more aggressive, if that's even possible, in order to combat this strategy, which I think will be really interesting because something like Ninja, for example, that was kind of trying to play the mid-range thing where it was like, you know, wanted to have kind of some defense reactions and all that kind of stuff to kind of combat Warrior when it needed to. I think now you kind of have to drop that and you're like, all right, well, I just need to run full, like, you know, 8 to 10 blue Ninja with like all the reds and just kind of kill you as fast as I possibly can, which I think will make for a pretty interesting, way more rock, paper, scissors metagame than we had before, which I think would be kind of cool.
Todd?
I have opinions based on all formats. I think it's borderline unplayable to just above Ranger and Constructed.
Eesh.
So and that's in Classic Constructed, right? I think it's above curve, but I think it's below power level with everything combined. In Blitz, I think this disrupts the meta entirely. It makes Ira feel awful, and is probably a hard counter to some of the current decks that are running around in Blitz. And I think it's off the chain good in Limited.
Hmm.
Like I think in Limited, like in a sealed or draft format, I think if you draft this properly and the brute lists in this format don't look oppressive, I think this thing can just dominate a Limited format.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Mike?
I don't think I've never felt more absolutely opposite of what Todd just said than I do right now. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, and I mean that respectfully.
I know.
You mean always have different opinions. So, like, I get what you say about it can be unsealed, you know, if Brute's not played properly, because I don't see Rune Blade.
Well, it's not that Brute's not played properly. It's that
the
card pool.
But I think that this deck is, like Addison said, needs time to set up, and Blitz doesn't give it that opportunity. But in Classic Constructed, it can take a hit for 5, 6, 10, 15 even, and have time to set up and then come back. That's fair.
I'm not arguing it.
And I see where you're coming from too, but I think the exact opposite. I think in Classic – I think this is going to be Kano – for Classic Constructed, as in Kano, what Kano is
that's
for Blitz.
Interesting. No, it's pretty cool. We see it oppositely.
Yeah, though. Like Blitz, like Kano is great in Blitz, but in Classic Constructed, struggles. I think in Blitz, this deck is going to struggle, but be good in Classic Constructed.
That, all right.
You know, so I see it as the opposite of what Kano is right now. Sealed and draft events. I don't think it can be that good because it requires so much setup and so many certain cards to get to where it needs to be. And if someone hates draft it, you're screwed. So maybe better in sealed than draft. But I think I think the opposite. So I don't have an opinion. Sealed, whatever, draft and sealed, I don't have an opinion on that. But when it comes to Blitz and Classic Constructed, I have the opposite opinion as you do.
And I get it, right? Like, but I take it from meta standpoint in what's popular in that format, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the strengths this has in that current format and apply it there, right?
But Blitz is all about, you know, gotcha moment, like swing big, fast, real fast-paced games.
Right, but
and this, I don't see this as a fast-paced deck.
I agree, but this list also has the ability to shut down those lists that have come out that were able to hit hard but weren't hitting from hard basic attacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this list is like, you know what? You puny little hitters, I have the ability to shut that down.
You know what class hates this deck? Wizard.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any attack
And what's
cards.
Really good in Blitz.
It's like, what the heck? Like, can we talk about that for like 10 seconds?
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? What's like really good in Blitz? Wizard. This is good into Wizard.
This is, of course, this is good. I mean, they have no attack action cards, so their Phantasm doesn't have any meaning. So
oh,
now,
wow.
Now your 1-for-6 that you were talking about is, what is it? Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Why it's good in Blitz.
Against that one class.
Which is...
In our meta, how many people play Wizard?
It's not about how many players play it. It's about the meta overall.
Okay. So the meta. So because of that one fact, you think this deck is good in Blitz?
Not just that one, but I think it's good in Ira as well.
But Ira swings back just as fast. Ira swings back really fast. Sure, Ira can't block these attacks, but Ira is swinging so hard, so quickly, so consistently that I don't think this deck can keep up with it in that time frame to be able to build up its auras and its true defense.
Okay, so I think that there's a way to build the Illusionist where you just ignore the auras and just pack your deck full of the cheap attacks, and it's not a flashy way to swing big in Blitz, but when you're dropping, when you're pitching a yellow and swinging for 8, that stuff adds up because they got to block with 3 cards or they're taking chunks of damage.
Yeah, okay, so I... Take the auras aside, then yeah. I think the deck's home place, where, like where it's going to feel comfortable at, is in Classic Constructed. Like, I think that's what the deck was built around. And then Blitz is just another thing. But that's just me.
I agree with you, Mike. I don't think that this is going to be very good in Blitz. I think it requires too much setup for it to be good in Blitz. I mean, I do think it has nice attacks, but none of the attacks have go again, and that's going to kill it.
Right. So... The attacks are cheap. You can block with 2 cards from your hand and pitch on 1 card to pay for your attack. And it swings for big. Like Benyu said, you have to block with 2 to 3 cards from your hand to stop it. But it doesn't have go again. It can't go wide. It's just, this is what it is. This is what I got. You know, you can't, most of them, you won't be able, you can't raise a reflex. And they have no attack reactions. You can't make them bigger. And you have to build your deck really weird to stack it and go tall with them. I just think that Constructed is it going to be its home in Blitz? I mean, it might have a place in Blitz. I don't see it right now.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of things you can use to just pump these things for cheap from the generic pools, Plunder Run or Slogisms if you want. That's not cheap, but she has her own the 1-for+5. Against classes that have trouble dealing with that, and some of her cards have dominate at 5 or 6, 10 dominates, not something to scoff at.
No, yeah, not but wrong. I think this class is going to be like all the other classes that have been spoiled. Well, I mean, not all, but all the other classes have other cards from other sets, and they're going to mesh better with those cards. I think Illusionist is going to be you're building your Illusionist deck, and probably 99% or 98% is going to come out of Monarch.
Or all of it, because it's only Monarch and generics.
Right. I don't think you're going to be running... you're not going to be running many generics from the other sets to go into this deck, so they're just not going to fit in. So all those pump cards from others out of the sets aren't going to be there.
Can I have my turn now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks,
guys.
Hang on, wait. I got something else.
Just save it. All right, we'll come back to you. So my opinion... is that it actually plays well in both Blitz and Constructed. And it's part of that is because of what Minion just said, is that you can load this deck up with attack action cards, and it's going to play sort of like Bravo in Blitz because all of those attack actions that we talked about all block for three. They all cost 1 to 2. They all swing for 6 or more.
So you think this might be the next Warrior where it's just great? And
I think it's going to be like Bravo, except you're going to be playing a bunch of reds and stuff out of it because they all attack for a lot. They all block for three, which is the same thing that you want to do with Bravo. You also have the ability to create Spectral Surge tokens. I don't know what kind of armor they're going to get. But I also think that they probably play well with stuff like Runeblade does in Sealed and Blitz and stuff, like Lead the Charge, Mage Master Boots.
Which aren't in their set, so it doesn't matter for Limited.
Well, I'm saying in Blitz and Constructed. I'm okay. Just saying that because I played Runeblade in Draft today and I made use of those cards, they might be able to make something out of that.
I think Chris is trying to plug his victory.
Yeah, he is. He's totally trying to plug his victory.
Those cards allow them to play an aura and then still do something, right? Like, yeah. It's going to take your hand, but you might be able to do something like that with a tunic.
Right. You know what? It was the way he was pointing at this table.
He was pointing. You feel like, a lot. Feel, like, yeah, like, strongly.
Like, if you turn to channel 3, you'll be able to see us live.
It was this. With every word that had any influx or importance.
And he's a big dude.
At all.
And I'm not. So I'm intimidated by it.
You know what? I agree with him.
So it's going to play in Blitz with a bunch of attack actions that block for three and swing for 6 or 7. And then in Constructed, it's going to play with all its auras and other dumb crap that it does. So I think that it plays in both formats just fine. I think that it has plenty of tools. The only thing that's going to make it weak is that the weapon attacks are kind of suspect, right? Because you have to make those out of auras and Blitz. It might not be as functional, but all you're doing is swinging attacks for 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if I buy that as much because I just sat here and watched you. And
he wasn't tapping as much.
You didn't tap the table at all. And I'm like,
that's because I already owned you and I don't need to tap anymore.
I will say this. that's the best argument. I mean, Chris had the best, like, all right, that makes sense.
It was impassioned.
I think it can play in both worlds, and it plays with a different deck build in both. And I think that they can be functional.
So, when Monarch comes out, what class are you playing, Chris?
I'm all aboard the Illusionist train.
Yeah, me too.
The fake me train too. That's not really there, I'm riding it.
We will make the train.
Yeah. You dudes are going to get crushed.
We will be the first two locomotives on the train.
Yeah.
You dudes are going to get crushed.
Y'all will be like the human centipede in front of a train and get run over.
Hey, at least we're not in the back eating digested poo.
Well, that's right. Clearly haven't watched
the thing I'm not going to do, Addison, is I'm not going to ride it for 6 months like I did with Ranger try to make it work. If it doesn't work, after a month or so, I'm off of it. All right? I'm not doing that again. I'm not putting myself through that again.
Chris put himself with them.
But I do think that there's some interesting stuff there. I actually think it's more viable than you guys are making it sound.
Yes.
So, I agree. I think it will be good. I really do. It's hard for me right now because I don't have all the cards. Like, there's still a ton of cards.
Yeah, for sure.
Class. Like,
I mean, after you're talking just about a bunch of hot doo-doo, and it'll be nothing. And the only good cards were the ones that were spoiled, in which case Mike and I'll be sad.
Mm-hmm. Because you would have bought all these cards and built this deck that's garbage.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
It happens. After we talked about it, though, I was thinking about it. Snapdragon Scale is actually really good in this deck in Blitz. So that might be something to think about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Addison, for pointing out something that I pointed out without having to point it out.
Wait a minute, who pointed it out?
Well, Addison gave it to you on a fucking plate. I mentioned it in passing as to not give away all my shit.
Well, I mentioned another thing, which was the Mage Master, so I went with a different pair of boots. But I can bring multiple pairs of shoes.
That's true.
Like, I got all this luggage space. I could put another pair of shoes in there and wear one to the party.
Wait a minute. Who pointed it out?
So I mentioned it with an impact.
Todd didn't say shit about Snapdragon skills.
I don't need to give you all of it. I need
it all time. No. You can't hold it back.
You get just the tip.
That doesn't do anything for me, bro.
Do you want to go back into the bathroom? Because you're contributing about as much from there.
We need more butter.
We got Addison. We don't need you.
Oh, all right.
Oh, wow. I mean, this is shot that we're sitting in, but it's okay.
Well, shots fired.
Shots bang. Well, I'm in the middle.
I'm just saying that because you made fun of my pointing.
I'm just saying.
That escalated quickly.
I didn't buy the second part where he was like, yeah, and you know, without me pointing, I'm just going to tell you guys, I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
And like, fuck that.
How about we talk about mentors?
All right. Now I'm interested.
My mentor's dead.
So I'm going to go through these one by one. I'll read one. We'll discuss. Move on to the next. We have three revealed. There's going to be another one that we'll talk about on our next episode. But for now, we'll go through the three that we have. Mentors are interesting cards that are coming out of the Blitz pre-con decks. They are meant for Blitz specifically. So the first is the Warrior Mentor, Minerva Thymus. You can only have her in your deck if your hero is young. So yes, specifically for Blitz. At the start of your turn, if Minerva is face down in your arsenal, you may turn her face up. One-handed weapons you control have +1 attack power. Whenever a weapon you control hits, put a lesson counter on Minerva. Then, if there are three or more lesson counters on Minerva, banish her, search your deck for a specialization card, and put it face up into your arsenal and shuffle your deck. She blocks for 3. What do you guys think, just generally, about mentors as we go through this roundtable? And then how do you feel about Minerva? Minion.
Yeah, I think she's probably pretty good. I think more in Dorinthia deck than a Bolton deck. It's like your weapon has a counter on it already. So why not? I know it clogs your arsenal, but it replaces itself at the end as well. So I think they're pretty good. I have to see them in play before you can really make the determination.
Now, one question I have before I jump to you, Addison. This says if you have her face down in your arsenal, so you have to get her and put her there.
Yeah.
So this isn't correct. A start of the game kind of deal. This is something you're going to have to draw out of your deck.
Yeah.
How do you feel about her, Addison?
I think she's interesting. I actually don't think she's good in Dorinthia because of the one-handed weapon thing. I think that's kind of anti-Dorinthia. I think she'll probably be better in Bolton and Kasai just for the axes and the sabers.
I agree with your reading is fundamental.
Oh, damn.
But in those decks, which I wholeheartedly believe needed a boost, I think she's fantastic. One thing that does concern me about these cards, though, is how slow that they can be and how fast Blitz is, but that could just be something that's going to kind of naturally slow, maybe either slow down or naturally just be strong, and it's just something that we haven't really seen yet, so it could be completely fine. I'm not sure. Other than that, though, she is my second favorite of the Mentor spoiled so far.
How do you feel, Todd?
I don't know. Like, they're really cool. I think mentors add a interesting new aspect to the game. They have 0 pitch value. So they check no box there for me. The idea that they have to take up a spot in your arsenal for 2 turns effectively to get any kind of trigger is questionable to me. In Blitz, where the game happens so much faster, that 5th card in your hand is so impactful. I don't know that waiting to use her ability 2 turns later is worth enough to give up the possible damage or benefit there for 1 turn in a 20 to 15 health game.
How about you, Mike?
Yeah, I just wrecked you. Like, you got nothing on that.
Like, I regret to say that I have to agree with you. Might hurt my feelings a little bit. No, like, you don't start with her in play. So,
right.
do you run the 1 or do you run the 2 to make sure you see her as soon as possible?
Right.
And the fact that, like you said, she pitches for nothing. Okay. Now, if you do run the 2, then apparently you can obviously play her twice because she gets banished, but you can still play the second version of her and trigger her again once it all goes off. Is that worth it to see the 2? Like I said, once again, the fact that she pitches for nothing is a big, big turnoff, because We all know those cards that we have. We run one or two of them in our blitz decks. They pitch for one, but they're awesome and do something great. But sometimes we have to do what with that card? Pitch it so that we can actually have a turn and do something, and then see it later in the game.
Yeah,
you can't do that with her. Nope. When you see her, it dictates your turn. You're setting it up. This is going to my arsenal. I'm setting this up because this card pitches for nothing. It does block for three, but that means I'm losing it, so I better be running two now.
Right.
So I right now with what we see, I don't like it. I think the way Blitz is, it's one of those things that you got to go for the gas. Once you get the initiative, you got to keep the pedal down and keep the pressure on your opponent. And if you don't, they're going to – and you have a bad turn, and this could cause that bad turn.
Yes.
And unless you run two, and I don't know, I play Kano and I run two Fork Lightnings because I want to see it, and sometimes I don't still see it. So, and when I do, it's at a bad time, and this could be at a real bad time because it once again does block for three, but pitches for zero, and it's just, well, I had the initiative, and now I got to slow down for a turn, and like you said, for two turns maybe. To be able to actually get the full use out of it. And that feels real bad in a game where like Blitz is relentless. Like it's just one of those things that if you have a bad turn, you're screwed. That's why I like Classic Constructed so much, because I can have a bad turn and fight my way back. Blitz, it's hard to fight your way back.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing about her is she tutors for a specialization card, but I don't know that jamming up your arsenal for two turns for plus one on three separate attacks is enough to justify it. Doesn't feel super strong. So I don't know how high I am on Minerva. I think the idea of tutors is pretty cool, though, in general. So let's jump right into the Brute Mentor, which is Lady Barthamont. Same thing, start of your turn, put her if she's face down in your arsenal, you can turn her face up. Whenever you play an attack action card, banish the top card of your deck. If the banished card has six or more attack power, the attack gains dominate, and you put a lesson counter on Barthamont. Then if there are two or more lesson counters on Barthamont, banish her, search your deck for a specialization card, put it face up in your arsenal, shuffle your deck. Minion, how do you feel about her?
I'm kind of torn on this one. With the traditional Brute, you had... you were intimidating cards. Intimidating and dominating doesn't feel that great. She obviously helps the Shadow Brutes do their thing where you're putting the six cost card or six power cards into your graveyard. And then where I think she might shine the best, I'll try this again, is in KO. If you get one, if you roll hot and she happens to be out, that's a pretty big dominate attack for a format where people only have 20 health.
How about you, Addison?
I'm actually pretty high on this card. I think this card's really good. She's my favorite of all of them, and I think that she's good in KO. I think that she's good with Levia. I think she's really good with Reinar. I know intimidating and dominating don't really go together, but you can control that. Like you have a choice on whether you're going to intimidate or not. This doesn't trigger intimidate, which I think is actually better. The fact that you actually banish this card instead of discard it, which I think is a plus for Reinar. And I think being able to dominate attacks with a barraging beatdown, getting one card, limiting your opponent's choices that way, and then also being able to go search up for your off rampage, I think it's disgusting. I think she's going to be really good in that deck.
Todd.
Less than excited.
All right.
It's funny because Addison and I both play a lot of Brute, and we come at him from, I guess we come at him from different angles, right? I like the consistency of being able to control my hand and know that I'm going to get my Intimidate triggers. I do not like the idea that I have to flip off the top of my deck and hope that the card that I flip off is a fucking attack, because there is somewhere between six to, in this next set, probably 6 to 12 at least at a minimum cards in your deck that are not attack actions. And that's not counting any defense action reactions or any of that kind of stuff. Just cards that I know, counting barraging beatdowns and blood rush bellows in your deck alone are not going to be of the said suit that you need. So again, you're also tying up a resource for two turns to get the benefit to search. Not a fan of that. Dominate on a intimidated attack feels pretty good, and I can see that. But I feel like this is not necessarily a 60-40 trigger to make sure you hit it, which means when you leave it up to a coin flip, it's just not as good, mm-hmm. which means it's still tying up your arsenal for up to another turn, meaning it might take three turns to trigger this ability. Mm-hmm. And that's just not as good to me.
How about you, Mike?
I'm going to go a little bit different route here. Because I've seen a lot of brute decks, and this is going to go very similar to what I'm going to say about the Runeblade one. But when it comes to those decks, I usually see them play out their hand. And so very rarely, when I'm playing against them, this is just because from me playing against the group that I play against, when I play against the brute players, very rarely do I see them putting a card in their arsenal. They usually play out their hand. So I actually think that this card can be useful because they can still play out their hand, maybe take a turn where they take a little bit of damage to be able to still play out their hand, put this card in their arsenal, and then not get in their way. Where other cards, like in a warrior deck, where uses their arsenal very frequently, the mentor could get in the way. I don't see the mentor getting in the way of brute decks as this mentor getting in the way of the brute deck as much as I see the mentor for warrior getting in the way of the warrior deck. So I think it is playable. Like I said, once again, it does block for three. So I think it's something you do want to see early to get it going, because, I mean, it's a blitz deck. You want to see it as soon as possible. I mean, Brute's one of the classes I'm looking at trying to build maybe out of the set because of the cards that I have in my personal collection. So I might try this class out. And originally, I'll probably try it out with two in my deck to make sure I see it.
That's quickly. Probably the accurate number since it's blitz.
No, that's what I'm saying. One or two. Between one or two. Man, what a dickhole. Anyway.
I think this might be a hot take. I think Levia needs this card to function in Blitz.
I agree.
But you have to build around it. And that might make a less optimal Brute deck.
I agree.
So I think if you want to take Levia into Blitz, you're going to have to consider her strongly. But it means that you probably lose Blood Rush. Means you probably lose...
I don't think you lose.
I mean, it's out of the defense reactions. You got to cut somewhere to get those six attacks.
You don't cut the best card in the deck.
I mean,
yeah, I don't think
so. Right? Maybe that's the case. Maybe you keep those in there. You take out the defense reactions. And you say, I'm going all heat all time.
That sounds hot.
I'm going to dominate a couple six attacks
because you use heat
and go for it. But it's going to be like a boost mech, right? Like you're going to miss it,
yeah,
and then that's going to really suck. Because then what do you do after that? You know, you just make a regular attack, and it sits there in your arsenal.
When a boost misses, they just flip their boots over and go again.
Right. They don't have that luxury. So I think that if you're going to play Levia and Blitz, you're stuck with it, and you're going to have to figure out how to make that work, because I don't think it functions without it.
I have the answer for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Play Talismanic Lens in your deck. You're good to go.
That's funny. We were talking about Opt and Brute the other night.
Yeah, we've been looking at it too. There is no way in hell I'm playing Talismanic Lens.
No.
Like you can stop right there, Adam. There is no way in hell I'm playing that there. But what I will do is maybe build Opt into my list.
Play some Whispers or something.
So you're gonna put more non-6 attack cards in your deck.
I'd rather put them there than a fucking Talismanic Lens.
I'm with you, Addison.
If you're playing aggressively, what the fuck do you care if it's a Talismanic Lens? You're not going to block.
Just run the eye.
I mean, I guess, you know what? Hang on. Addison's...
You might be onto something?
Addison's talking me into something here.
Here we go.
And like, why do you need any defense?
Brute smart. Right.
You get Lens.
Brute smart. Your chest blocks for six. You've got the big turn under control. So just go hard.
You know what? I don't even want chest now, Addison. You talked me out of it.
You run the scabs. No, you run the scabs. You run the chest. You block eight that one turn.
Yeah, and I don't even know if we need eight, right, Addison? We're good.
Yeah, you bring it, Addison. I'm with you because that's you basically want a 28 health and a 20 health debt.
You know what, Addison? I like you, man.
All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, the last mentor we have to talk about tonight, and we're going to run a little bit long here to talk about it, is Lord Sutcliffe, the disembodied head, who is a mentor for the Runeblade.
Dude, that looks like straight off some H.P. Lovecraft shit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I love it.
Sweet art for sure.
So whenever you play a non-attack action card, deal one arcane damage to each hero and put a lesson counter on Sutcliffe for each damage dealt this way. Then, if there are three or more lesson counters on Sutcliffe, banish him, search your deck for a specialization card, put it face up in your arsenal, shuffle your deck. Is Sutcliffe worth jamming up your arsenal to deal three arcane damage minion?
I don't know. But he won't gum it up for as long, potentially. If you play enough non-attack action cards, you can get him out in one turn. What's a little bit interesting with him is that one of the specializations you can pull out with him is Eclipse for Chanye, which will potentially give him a way to get out his little ally token in Blitz. That is a dream, but it's a way to tutor for it.
Interesting. What do you think, Addison?
I think this card's interesting. I think it's built around. I think it does exactly what Runeblade's doing. I think another interesting thing about this card is that it targets yourself. Like you're hitting yourself with arcane damage every turn too. Like you do this. So it says each hero. So I'd assume you're targeting yourself that way as well. So even if your opponent blocks, you can still obviously you still take your damage and get your little lesson counter that way. So he does his own thing. I just don't know if his specialization cards. I don't know Runeblade specialization cards well enough to really know, but I'm sure it's good.
I think the big one for your classic Runeblade would be Arcanite Ascendancy. That's their big
GK
card. One thing that is also interesting about him, going back to my turn, is that there is the one card that I really liked in the Shadow Runeblade, which was the Dimensional something or other.
That one.
You accidentally pop that and destroy it if you've got Sutcliffe in there. So there's a big negative non-bow, if you will, with those two cards.
Non-bow.
What do you think, Todd?
This one I like.
What?
Yeah. This one I like. It has actual value in the arsenal that the other ones don't really have, where this one actually in a blitz format with a limited health pool allows you to deal up to three sources of damage with one attack. That to me is super interesting.
That's nasty in blitz in my personal, but
especially late game. So like when you look at it from that level, this is disgusting. I think this one has the most play potential out of all of them. And that's not even knowing what the other one does.
How about you, Mike?
I'm going to have to agree 1,000% again with Todd. Once again, playing Runeblade lately, I've been playing it a few times in draft and other formats. It's one of those classes that you have several turns where you're playing at your hand and you don't put anything in an arsenal because you played it all. Or blocked with it all, or whatever. And so it could sit there. And I think it's one of those things that late game in a blitz format, mid to late game, when you're starting to do damage from three different perspectives, and your opponent's having to block a whole card to block this one damage, or just let it go through, that starts adding up. And
yeah,
in the mid to late game of a blitz format, I think that's going to be disgusting. So if you're going to build, I think when you play blitz with the upcoming Runeblade, you base it around this card. You run two of, you get one early to put some pressure on, and then you love to see one late, and you're playing them both and getting them both out and procking it twice. Yeah. I think it's going to make Runeblade good. That's the class I other than Illusionist, I'm building Illusionist, but I want to play this class too.
And build Brute. Is there a deck you don't want to play, Mike?
To be honest, I'm hoping that I can get rid of my Brute stuff that I have personally and the legendaries that I have for it. Sell that so I can go into Runeblade for the set, because I think it's good. I want to build Illusionist for Classic Constructed, and I want to build this version of Runeblade for Blitz.
I think this is okay. I mean, a couple more sources of damage is always good. Something that I didn't mention with Levia that is important to both the Shadow classes is that both of their specialization cards are limited to one per deck. So these mentors are going to tutor those out, get them into your arsenal,
yep,
and then give you the opportunity to play them in order to summon Ursa or Blasmafet. So that's pretty huge for these. So that might be a big power spike for the Shadow decks, depending on whether or not you think you can actually get the conditions off in Blitz.
Sure.
Which is going to be tough. But that's another thing going for them. Right. The light one, not as much. But the light ones are super powerful too. So
yeah. And this definitely skews my opinion of Blitz towards Shadow. Because Shadow has three options in their deck to get to their Omega level. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to call it right now.
I mean, the allies in Blitz are going to be stupid good.
I think so.
If you can get them out.
Yeah. I do think they're stupid good. And that on top of like multiple ways to deal damage. Like I think Blitz is Shadow and Constructed is Light right now. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've covered a lot of ground tonight. Is there anything else that I missed that you guys want to bring up that we missed while we were talking about other spoilers or any other additional points you want to make on Prism or the Mentors or any of that kind of stuff? We probably won't get any more extra episodes because spoilers are kind of wrapping up. We're going into pre-release weekend next week. So now's your time. If you got something you want to say.
Anybody?
I think in general, with respect to the mentors, that's a concept that could be pushed forward, which is tying up your arsenal for additional like semi-permanent effects or possibly permanent effects. It's an interesting concept as they build out on the game.
I think it's funny that it absolutely fucks Ranger.
Poor Ranger. Like I think a lot of us were hoping for another Ranger class, right?
The Ranger mentor is just a quiver.
It gives you a second arrow slot.
You look in.
It's got a face on it.
It's a note that says I owe you.
It looks like the fucking Doge. It's a fucking Doge coin. That's your artwork for your mentor.
Yeah, but it was purchased after the spike.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Oh, poor Ranger.
Yeah, they are interesting. I think it works with pretty much everybody except Ranger. Poor Ranger. Wanted to get some help. Anybody else have anything they want to jump in on? Something we missed?
Well, I mean, we have pre-releases coming out next week. Yep. By the time this comes out, we'll probably be, what?
We'll be TV.
Three, 4 days out from a pre-release.
Yeah, and we're I think all of us are playing in two next week.
Pretty close. I can say that we will have a live stream running from the shop, Total Access Games, shameless plug, that we will have games from our pre-release streaming.
Ah, so they can see me win the final round.
That doesn't happen very much, Mike.
They can see the Fabled I'm going to pull in your pre-release.
That'd be awesome.
How many tournaments have I run here?
Like a two. Tournament, Mike?
Two. And now I have two because I beat your ass today. That's the other important thing I want to talk about. I beat Mike's ass.
I was not in this tournament either myself. So
Mike and I drafted Runeblade in the same pod sitting next to each other, and we went 1-2.
Yeah, we went undefeated until we met each other in the final round.
And then I beat Mike's ass.
I'm not going to lie. You know how when you play a game,
you made somebody else's dog bark.
And it gets to like, you know, I'm at one or two life and they're at zero. Oh, it was a close game, but you kind of felt in control the entire time when you won. You took damage. Chris beat my ass that last round. Yeah. Like, I got him down to 5, and it felt so bad. I had one round. I was like, you know what, Chris? Here, take this. Chris was like, all right, I'll take it. And then, wait a minute, what? I'm like, well, I'm going to go again, swing for another, and then go again. So, Next thing you know, Chris took like 10, 11, I think it was 10 to 24. I don't know, man. I've been drinking a lot. But it was at least 10 at max 14 days.
It was somewhere between 1 and 19.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, well, he, like I said, he was at 5 life when the game was over. So it was between 1 and 15. No, I did. I think I did 14 to you that one round.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and swings for, like, you swung lethal.
First so it was off, 17 because I have 8 rune chance and it come to fight on a Arcane Ascendancy.
Right.
And then I swung with the one I made from that plus a Nebula Blade for 5 more.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. All in one round.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial swing was lethal. Yep. So I had to block out. And then he swung again with the Nebula Blade and another rune chant coming in. So there was just 6 damage I took that I couldn't do anything about. And that wasn't even the final round. We had to go another 2 rounds to me just trying to hang on. Holy crap.
And I'm going to leave on a high note. Peace.
Did you just mic drop? It was like an earbud drop?
Yeah, earbud dropped.
Earbud dropped. That's doubtful.
But I got to pretend like I left, so.
Well, you should stop talking. I didn't hear anything.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. thank you, Minion, for showing up 3 different times over the last 2 weeks to record some spoiler episodes with us. Addison and Mike, thank you guys for showing up today. Sorry we couldn't get you in on any other episodes, but there will be more opportunities with future releases. Todd, thanks for letting us use your shop and say the stuff nobody cares about.
Chris is so politically correct.
If anybody else has anything to say, now's the time. Otherwise, we're out of here.
Deuces?
Peace.
Oh, there it was.